It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. A year ago today, a student opened fire at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, killing a teacher and a 14-year-old student and injuring six others. The attacker died by a self-inflicted gunshot wound. It's the deadliest school shooting in state history.
And since then, there have been at least 75 school shootings across the country, including one at Brown University in Rhode Island on Saturday that left two students dead and nine people injured. Here's Jennifer Ray, principal of Abundant Life, in a video message from last week.
Each individual has a journey, and we continue to press into that journey of trauma and healing. We know it's an individual basis, and we, as a team, we lean into each individual need, and we press into what we value instead of avoiding what is hard. God comforts us so that we can comfort other people, and we're grateful for others that have come alongside us to comfort us.
Weeks after the Abundant Life shooting, Governor Evers established an Office of Violence Prevention to curb gun violence in the state. In just a bit, we'll hear about that office and its work.
But first, we're joined by Janet Hyde, an emeritus professor in the Department of Psychology and Gender and Women's Studies at UW-Madison. She's author of the book, The Psychology of Gun Violence. Janet, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here, although it's a sad occasion.
A day like this can be really difficult and distressing for survivors. How might a day like this affect the Abundant Life School community?
Yes, well, the background is that among survivors of school shootings, it's quite common that people get PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder, which is quite a debilitating disorder that symptoms are things like flashbacks to the frightening event, panic attacks, hypersensitivity to little cues like a firecracker going off for 4th of July sounds like the gun firing, and all of a sudden they're in a panic. And the people affected are the survivors, the students at the school, the faculty and staff, and the parents, that whole community. So many of them probably do have some symptoms of PTSD. An anniversary like this can reactivate that trauma. And that's one of the problems with it. And this is the cost of unregulated guns in the United States, that these far-reaching psychological consequences.
So should people observe or acknowledge trauma anniversaries?
I don't think they have much choice, but they can use it as a time for healing. And the things, there are multiple things that help people recover in a situation like this. One of those is social support. Mm-hmm. And from everything I've read about Abundant Life Christian School, it's quite a community, and they have really bonded together to offer each other social support. So that's incredibly important. Another thing that we understand from psychology is that one of the things that helps people get past tragedies like this is faith. And this is it's a Christian community at that school. So I'm quite confident that the students and the faculty and the parents have a lot of faith, and that will help them through this. And then I'd also say there's nothing like having a good psychotherapist. And there are many of them in Madison. I have a friend who's a parent in a school shooting. Her kids survived, but she has described in detail the trauma running toward the school, not knowing if it were her kids who were killed. And then she speaks quite movingly of how a psychotherapist helped their whole family to heal. So that's an important thing to remember, too.
I'm wondering what factors might decide whether an event like this can significantly affect a child into adulthood, carrying a trauma with them for a long time.
Well, that's one of the long-term consequences here. And we actually heard this with the mass shooting at Brown University over the weekend. Two of the students there had been in high schools, in shootings in their high schools or middle schools, one of them the Parkland, Florida school shooting. And they spoke of how, talk about reactivating trauma. So we have some very good psychotherapies for this. We can help people get over it. But those are scars, emotional scars that people will carry with them for the rest of their lives. And we know how to prevent these shootings, and we need to get on it. This is too high a price to pay.
Janet, thank you for joining us on this day.
You're welcome.
Janet Hyde is an emeritus professor in the Department of Psychology and Gender and Women's Studies at UW-Madison. Now we turn to Nick Matuszewski, Associate Executive Director of the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort. He leads the Wisconsin Gun Violence Prevention Coalition. Nick, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Since the tragedy at Abundant Life, what kinds of new efforts are working to prevent gun violence in Wisconsin schools?
Yeah, I mean, since the shooting last year, we have seen no shortage of really impactful and powerful gun violence prevention, gun safety laws being proposed and bills being introduced in the state legislature. But what we've seen this session, what we've seen in previous sessions, is just that the gun lobby has such a strong impact on some legislators that these bills are not moving. They're not getting hearings. We know that they would save lives, and yet they're not even moving through committees or getting hearings or anything like that. Things like extreme risk laws, universal background checks, these policies pull incredibly well in Wisconsin, and still they don't move forward. The one bright spot that we've seen this year is, as was mentioned, the creation of the statewide Office of Violence Prevention. But even that had so much more potential. You know, the governor put forward a budget in the state budget for that office of $12 million over the next 2 years. And that was taken out of the budget almost immediately. So we're just seeing so much pushback from those that are beholden to the gun lobby on every policy that would reduce gun violence in the state.
The Wisconsin Office of Violence Prevention is coming up on its one-year anniversary next month, and your group had advocated for the creation of this office. What kind of things do you see it being able to do related to these school shootings?
So the office is going to have around $10 million in federal dollars that will have to be spent by the end of 2026. So right now, under the leadership of Amanda Powers, they are really doing a fantastic job of working with groups around the state and, local organizations, statewide organizations, and others who are doing the work on the ground every day to reduce violence in our state, and finding ways to distribute that money to those organizations that need it most. There are just so many organizations throughout Wisconsin that do community violence intervention work, which is working in the communities in the state that are most heavily impacted by gun violence, you know, having local leaders and mentors go into these areas and solve any disputes and work with individuals that might be at the highest risk of perpetrating gun violence. But these programs, although they're super impactful and successful, are also at a high risk of being defunded. So it's really kind of imperative that the Office of Violence Prevention is able to find the work that is happening and find ways to fund it. So our hope is that, they're able to sustain the work that's already happening in the state. And then from there, we're going to have to find other solutions as we move forward past 2026.
At one of my kids' schools, there was a lockdown drill this week. And I'm wondering, do you see these drills happening around the state, and what impact do they have?
Yeah, we see lockdown drills happening, ever more increasingly often. I think that they have an incredibly harmful impact on students. I grew up in an era right before it became super popular to have these drills. But we've seen with younger generations that it's always front of mind for them. And kids who return to school after the summer are often traumatized and worried about going to school and worried about gun violence in their classrooms. And that just wasn't the case when I was going back to school and for so many others. And it's just heartbreaking to know that what should be a safe place for our kids has become somewhere that many of them fear.
This Tragedy at Abundant Life wasn't the only shooting that happened in Wisconsin last year. A 14-year-old student was shot and killed by police after bringing an air rifle to Mount Horeb Middle School. Can you talk about some data here? How often are these events happening in Wisconsin?
Sure. So data around gun violence is sometimes hard to get, you know, the full picture, largely because policymakers have really hampered the efforts to collect data and ensure that we actually know the full picture of what's happening. But nevertheless, efforts have continued to try to have a better understanding of gun violence in Wisconsin and in the country. The most recent data that we have a full picture of is in 2023. And I can say that that year we saw 762 Wisconsinites lose their lives to gun violence. A large percentage of that was through suicide, but you know, also homicides are rising in the state. You know, as every day there are tragedies occurring in Wisconsin around gun violence.
Nick, as we close, I'm wondering if your coalition work is looking at the mental health piece of this, and do you advocate for mental health efforts?
Absolutely. I think it's important for folks to understand that the vast majority of gun violence is not tied to mental health issues. With that said, we fully support funding mental health efforts. We know that it's incredibly important. It's just also important to know that that won't be the only solution. We also have to limit access to firearms, and we have to ensure that we address root causes of violence. So it's often used as a distraction to say, well, let's just worry about mental health and not the guns. I think we have to approach both with equal intensity. Of course, we want to solve the mental health crises, but we have to ensure that firearms are less accessible.
Nick, thank you for joining us. That is Nick Matuszewski, Associate Executive Director of the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort, leads the Wisconsin Gun Violence Prevention Coalition.